Good morning. If you have ever seen the movie The Greatest Showman, one of the things that you will notice in that film is Barnum has this desire to be liked. He has this desire to be applauded and approved, and to be liked by this newspaper critic in the movie. And so in the movie there's this song. It's called Never Enough. And the lyrics to this song go something like this. All the shine of 1,000 spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough. And so there's this reminder in the film and through these words that sometimes we strive to have approval, we strive to gain stuff and to gain things. And if we reflect on that, we realize it's never enough, right? We just keep striving for more and for more and for more. And so I was thinking about this series several months ago, about this idea of accumulating so much stuff that we never seem to have enough. And we're never satisfied with what we have and with who we are, whether we're striving for accolades or degrees, or we're striving to rise our bank accounts so high. At what point do we have enough? And I specifically wanted to think about this in the midst of this Thanksgiving season, and also in the midst of a season of stewardship, where we talk about money and what we are called to give in the life of the church. And so I was thinking about John Wesley. Many of you know or have heard the name John Wesley, yes, some of us, okay? So John Wesley was the founder of Methodism. And one of the things that I admire about John Wesley is he really did live out the way he preached. And one of the things that John Wesley had in common with Jesus is they both talk about money a whole lot. Now, how many of you have ever said to yourself or heard someone say or say to your pastor, I just don't want to talk about money in church? Anyone ever said that or heard that or thought that? I feel that way all the time. I'm like, the last thing I want to do on a Sunday morning is come up in the pulpit and talk about how much you should empty out your pocketbooks, books, and put them in this offering plate. I'm a huge fan of NPR. It's pretty much all that I listen to in my car because I like to hear what's going on in the world. But yet, whenever they have their annual pledge drive, I always turn off that station. And then I switch over to K-Love, and then when their pledge drive comes on, I turn it off there because I can't handle people constantly asking for money all of the time, right? And so that's how I feel as a preacher talking about money. I'm like, I don't just want to ask people for money all of the time. I did not enter into this vocation to be a master marketer. That is not my skill set. I don't want to be a fundraiser. But then I discovered Jesus and John Wesley talked about money all of the time. And it is something we are called to talk about in the life of the church. Because money guides every transaction we make. It defines many of our relationships. It defines our vocation. How many of you, when you went to college to pick your degree, said, well, how much money am I going to make in this job? No. Some of us, yes. Some of us, no. But money, in so many ways, lies at the center of who we are and what we do. And so effectively talking about how we earn and how we manage our funds that God has given us is fundamental to who we are as Christians. And so John Wesley wrote this sermon. It's called The Use of Money. And he talks about three ways that we are called to use our money. And he says, gain all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. And as I was thinking about this idea of never having enough and always striving to get more and get more, I was reminded of Wesley's first rule: earn all you can, gain all you can. And I was like, what, Wesley? We're supposed to earn all we can? Are you kidding me? That sounds counterintuitive to the gospel, right? But the more and more I read Wesley's sermon on this matter, the more I understand what he meant. So we're going to take a look at Wesley's sermon today and kind of go through that. First, Wesley said, in this first rule, we sound like children of the world. Because that's what the world tells us to do, right? Earn, earn, earn. Go out and work, work, work. Try to get as much as you can. He said, but we shouldn't earn if it comes at the expense of our life or of our health. How many of you have jobs where you have to put in overtime all of the time? Okay. So that is probably detrimental to your health a little bit, right? If you're constantly working yourself to death almost, right? I'm not saying quit your jobs, okay? It's not what I'm saying this morning. But Wesley does say, don't do things to damage your health. He also says, don't undertake any employment which might injure your mind. Don't let your job taint your thoughts. Don't let it change who you are in your head. And he says this, for example, I am convinced that I could not study mathematics without losing my faith. I was like, whoa, wait, that's what I did. He says, yet many others pursue a lifetime study in this field without harm. So everyone must judge for themselves and refrain from whatever may harm their mind and their soul. So basically, you have to judge for yourself what's going to harm you. For some people, working in certain professions, like mathematics, according to Wesley, would hurt them. For others, it might bring them closer to God. I don't know where you fall on studying math, but Wesley fell on one side of it. And then the last thing he says is we should not gain all we can by causing injury to one another, whether by his trade, his body, or his soul. And he says, we should not sell things to harm our neighbor's health. And doctors, you should not deliberately prolong a patient's health in order to improve your own income. Earn all you can, but do it by honest work and with all diligence. Lose no time, Wesley says, in silly diversions, and do not put off until tomorrow what may be done today. Earn all you can. When I selected the text for today, this is the text that Wesley used to preach this sermon. And so I just picked it without really thinking about it. And then I read it, and I got really confused. Was anyone confused this morning when Chris was reading the text? Some of us? Okay, I'm still confused, I think, even though I've been reading commentaries all week long trying to figure out what this text is saying. But essentially, we have an owner of a company, and we have his manager, okay? And the manager discovers he is about to lose his job. He's about to be fired. It says there's a rich man who had a manager, and there were charges brought against him. And so the rich man says, what is this I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management. You cannot be my manager any longer. And so the manager says to himself, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I can't go out and dig ditches. I can't do physical labor. I'm a financial manager. I can't go out and beg. That's beneath me. What am I going to do? And so he brings in the men who owe his his master money. And he begins to lower their debts. And he does this so that way when it comes to the end, maybe they'll curry favor for him. Maybe they'll bring him in to their home when he is poor and destitute and has no money. So we get this story about how one guy owes 100 jugs of olive oil, and he says, no, cut that in half. And someone else owes 100 containers of wheat, and he says, no, make it 80. And then Jesus says this really weird thing. The rich man finds out what he's been doing, which is basically cutting his profits, right? And he commends him for it. He says, good job, you shrewd, dishonest manager. And then Jesus says, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth. What? Jesus cannot possibly be saying these words. And I tell you what, I read about 50 commentaries this week that all gave me a different explanation for what Jesus is saying here. No one can seem to come to some sort of consensus about exactly what Jesus is trying to get across. Some people say, well, the manager is using codes from Deuteronomy, which says you shouldn't charge interest. And so he's cutting the interest off these guys' loans, so in reality, he's doing the right thing. But then why would he be called a dishonest manager if he's doing the right thing? And then I heard in one place where he was kind of compared to Robin Hood, right? Robin Hood does what? Okay, so he's dishonest, right? He does the bad thing in order to do the right thing. And so maybe that's what this manager is all about. In reality, I really don't know exactly what Jesus is saying through this parable. There's a whole lot of options that we could glean from it. But Luke goes on to give us an explanation of what Jesus is saying. He says, if you are faithful with very little, you will also be faithful with much. If you are dishonest in very little, you will also be dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful even with your dishonest wealth, why should I entrust you with true riches? Here's the thing about the money that we have, either in our pocketbooks or in our bank accounts, because everything's electronic right now, right? Right. All of the money we have, everything that the money that we touch, all of it is tainted in some way, right? I would venture to say that every dollar that's circulating in the world, someone has been harmed by it. Either they worked for someone who harmed them, or the money we're spending promotes some sort of injustice in the world. And so all of the money we have is dishonest money. Because none of us are perfect. And surely none of our markets are perfect. And our economy is not perfect, right? The things we do to earn money in this world often harm people. But what Jesus says is, I need you to be faithful with what you've been given. Because if you're faithful with the money that I've given you, even if it comes from dishonest means, because let's be honest, all of it has, if you can be faithful with that, then I can trust you to be faithful with an eternal gift, with a lifelong gift, where you can rest abundantly forever with Jesus. And so God charges us with utilizing the resources that we have to serve God, to love God, and to love neighbor. If you ever meet with a financial planner, one of the rules that they often give you is a 10-10-80 rule, meaning you should save 10% of your money, you should give 10% of your money, and you should spend 80% of your money. You ever heard that? Anyone? Or somewhere, people have different percentages, but often it's you need to give some, you need to save some, and then you spend the rest. John Wesley practiced what he preached. In the very beginning of his ministry, he lived at Oxford, and they formed what they called a holy club. And the guys would get together, and they would each give their tithe to the group. And it wouldn't just go to promote their ministry, but they would literally take this money, and then they would go out after they left their meeting, and they would serve the poor directly. Wesley would go visit those in prison, and he would give all that he had as often as he could. But I read that early in his ministry, he made about 30 British pounds. I have no idea what that equates to in the U.S. dollar today, but back then he made about 30 British pounds. And he figured out that he could live off 28 pounds. Now, that does not meet the 10-10-80 rule, does it? No. Sounds like he's spending most of his money, right? And if you think about people who earn very little, if you think about those who are in the bottom percentage of income in our society, those who are below the poverty line, most of those folks have to spend what they earn, right? They have to be able to provide for their housing and their clothing and their food and buy their kids' school supplies and take their kids to the doctor. They need those resources. But in Wesley's life, by the end of it, he earned even more. And he kept earning and he kept earning. And at the height of his career, he was making 1,400 British pounds. And guess how much he was spending? 28. Because he realized he only needed 28 to live. And so every dollar more that he earned, or every pound more that he earned, he used to give away. He used to help others. And that is very foundational when he talks about earning all you can. He doesn't say earn all you can to pad your pocketbook, or earn all you can so you can build a bigger house or drive a nicer car. I'm not telling you don't build bigger houses, okay? But he says, do it so that you can help more people. Not so you can help yourself, but so that you can help others. And I think that's exactly what Jesus is telling us in this parable. Saying, if you have a little bit, make sure you're using it wisely. Yeah, meet your needs, but also make sure you're giving. And if you can do that with a little bit, then God will continue to bless us to do more and more so that we can help those in the world. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this sermon that John Wesley preached, The Use of Money. And so this week we talked about gaining or earning, and then next week we're going to talk about saving, and then the last week we're going to talk about giving right before Thanksgiving. And one of the things that I want to put in your mind is that on that Sunday we're going to talk a little bit about the financial status of the church and how we function based solely on your gifts. And so that is one place where you can give. But like I said, it's not just about giving to your local church. It's also about giving in such a way that you can help and aid as many people as possible. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, I give you thanks today. I thank you for the word and your gospel, and I also thank you for the tradition of our denomination. God, we study the words of John Wesley, and we ask that they would guide us in our thoughts today. But God, most importantly, we study the words of Jesus, where Jesus tells us to be faithful with the little that we've been given so that we can be entrusted to be faithful with the eternal gifts that you offer us. God, allow us to strive to earn as much as we can through honest means so that we might be able to make the world a better place. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.